We're here with Roland Grappo of Master Plan. And Roland, what's going on with the band currently, and what's Master Plan have going on as of right now?
Yeah, I think this year or the end of this year, I mean, we had a drastic change in the band. I mean, of course, many people don't know because I'm not updating the homepage for years. And people wondering why we're not showing up so much and not playing live anymore since the last tour with Saxon, you know. And this is already 5 years ago. And I think I was a bit in a tricky situation. I could never say what's really going on because I didn't even know. You know, I had never had information from Jorn or, you know, from the members. And I thought it's time now to continue somehow. You know, the record label AFM was telling me, so this is not really good position anymore for Master Plan and our label, you know. And so what is the plan? I said, I think we have to change singer again, you know, because we want to play live again, and Jorn wasn't able, you know. Jorn didn't show interest, or he didn't reply to my mails or something, you know. Anyway, I think many people can imagine that, you know, from the past, Jorn has his own kind of band, and he's more interested in his Jorn band. And so I don't want to say anything negative, so because there is no negative thing, you know. It's just I love Jorn, you know, and he has an amazing voice, a great singer, and he made a very good kind of, you know, part and Master Plan, and we're still friends, you know, but now we are separate again, and I feel a little bit unhappy about the situation, how it came, but now we have Rick, Archie, and also new bass player, Yari, Kanulainen, the ex-Stradivarius guy, and Evergrey bass player, and now we have people which love the band, because it's, you know, I think you have to be also the own fan of your own music, you know, and it's very important to have a lineup also with a new drummer, Martin Skarupka. And I think I have the amazing, great lineup now. Great bass player, great singing, and we just recorded the vocals the last 10 days. And we didn't finish everything, but we had 9 or 10 songs done already. And I have a good feeling again. So it reminds me a little bit the feeling of the, you know, excitement of the first album John did. So not that we copy the style or the songwriting of the first album. You know, it's 10 years ago and time changed, and you never can recreate this kind of moments, you know, because most of the songs were written even when we were a member in Halloween still. But now we have something which is very exciting. So we have tour plans already, we have dates already confirmed, and it's also written on our homepage. Six festivals are coming, and we have also support tour planned, which I can't say in a moment because it's a very famous band. And we have some offers already from other bands, but I guess also next year we will release maybe the album in March, April, something like that, and we're going to go also on our own tour maybe in autumn next year.
Well, let's talk about Rick for a second here, because you ended up getting him. He was in the band Advance, which is a band I'm a huge fan of, and you basically have practically a brand new lineup in this band. And, you know, in the past, I always said in the past, Mike DeMeo was an outstanding singer, but there was just something missing musically between Mike and yourself that you had with yourself and Jorn. Like, you and Jorn had a great musical chemistry. And talk about Rick. What's it like to work with Rick? Because, again, I've heard the 3 Advance albums that he has sang on, and I really, really like his voice. I think it fits the band really well. So talk about what it's like working with Rick, and talk about the rest of the guys in the lineup for Master Plan.
Yeah, I think, like I said, if somebody loves the band, you know, like Rick was contacting me already 5 years ago the first time, and he said, I'm a big fan of Master Plan, and, you know, I love this band, and he sent me sometimes, like, his kind of vocal performances or links of stuff he did, and, you know, Rick came very late to the singing kind of position, you know, he's a really a bass player normally, so he's just singing, I guess, 10 years now. And he's getting better and better every year. And now, when I heard the last Advance album, I realized his voice is beautiful now. It would even fit now to Master Plan, you know. And I know he's a big fan, and so I just put him in my kind of, you know, smaller kind of look. Who could fit, you know, kind of, you know, I was discussing with AFM who this could be a singer for Master Plan, this one. But Rick was always one of the main guys which I really wanted to choose. And No, I worked really the second time with him. So the first time we met in September, working on some melodies for the album. But now we wrote all the lyrics for the 10 songs I mentioned and recorded them and did also harmonies and choirs and all the backing vocals. And it was very easy to work with him. And you know, we had just... Sometimes we talked about what do you think, is it good or not? And he said, yeah, don't go too far away from the style of Master Plan. You know, he took care about it as well, you know. He doesn't want to copy you on at all, but he has some similarities. His kind of raspy voice, you know, some little blues in here and there. But basically he has his own style. But I love the power he has. The voice is just natural, kind of, you know, powerful, which I always wanted to have in Master Plan, you know. And that's really nice to work with people which are really down to earth and easy to work with, you know. Like I think I'm one of those guys, you know. And I hate to have, you know, trouble in the band and you know, complicated situations. So it's really much better for the result if everybody loves the kind of band and wants to support it and gives their best, you know.
Well, it's interesting because obviously there are a lot of great singers out there that could have obviously fit the band, but, you know, you picked Rick to be in this band, and it sounds like, you know, he's a big fan of the band and really wanted in, but, you know, in the end, you have to make a decision, and you have to go with what your gut tells you, and, you know, what was it about Rick that made you choose him and say, you know what, this is the guy I want to sing in this band, and he's my guy, and what led you to the decision to bring him in the band?
Basically, we had always a test song, you know, it's a song from the Aeronautics session, it's a bonus track, and called Killing in Time, and we had at that time two versions, one was with your own singing and one was an instrumental version. So always this song was the song we always sent to the singers, we always checked, you know, also Mike DeMeo long ago. And so I just sent it to him again, and he sent it immediately back after 2-3 hours, and it sounded so incredible great. That was the best version from all the 15-20 singers I just have, you know, and I thought that's the right one. You know, I just said, it's so good, you know, it sounded so perfect that I thought that's the one, you know. And the good thing is, working with Rick is, you know, because I have many ideas for the vocal parts, as you know, I'm a singer as well, not as great like these guys like Jorn and Rick, but... I have very good vocal melodies. You know, I have also the bluesy, soul-y stuff, natural insight. So I have a lot of ideas because I'm a big Grand Funk fan of Mark Farner, you know. And I learned all these things like the singing, like Glenn Hughes or whatever, you know. So I have an also natural insight, and I could help him a lot with the vocal melodies for the Master Plan album, you know. So of course I know from the experience with Jorn what he could do or what's right for the band, you know. I think the inspiration was always very important, and that's what I mean. If somebody's open-minded, and that's really perfect to work with, you know. And to tell you the truth, I mean, I wrote the first lyrics again after 10 years. I was not allowed to write lyrics for the band anymore. I mean, if you see, I wrote on the first album, Kind Hearted Light, Crystal Night, Sail On, you know, people loved the lyrics, and but Jorn always said, no, sorry, I don't want that you write something, and now I have the freedom again that everybody can put his input in, you know. Everybody's allowed to write songs, and I want to have a team here, not dictating someone, you know. But I'm just the guy who, let's say, producing and taking care about the end result and the whole kind of checking the frame left and right, you know, not getting too far from the style. But basically, I love to have people putting a lot of input in the band, you know.
Well, one of the things I think that's really cool, and I remember when your first solo album came out, The Four Seasons of Life, you talked about singing just now. I remember you sang the lead vocals on that album, and, you know, one of the things that was cool is that you released the song I remember, I think it was called, I don't remember now, it's been so long, but you did a cover, you actually sang a Kansas cover called Hold On, which I thought sounded really, really awesome. And, you know, obviously your singing voice is really suited to play backing vocals in Master Plan, and I'm glad you're going to be singing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I did in Halloween also a Grand Funk cover. I think it's pretty cool. Not the best version I did, but, you know, but I love to sing. But then, of course, I have more cleaner voice, more like a 70s voice, you know. When I was younger, I just lost people who sing clean, like Joe Walters and singer, I guess, from Kansas. Joe Walsh, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mark Farner, then the guy from Foreigner, Lou Graham, and this is where the voices are totally lost, you know. But now, for Master Plan, I changed my mind. So we have more, like, raspy, powerful voices, you know, more rock, metal kind of. So I like it, you know, now different. But I didn't do it so far, but we have one song, maybe one big kind of 10-minute version of a song we have. And it looks like that I sing also part in it with Rick together. So that's something now, that's what I, you know, it's a bit stupid that I was not even allowed to sing on the albums, you know, like some harmonies or some you know, little pieces like Kansas did, or many famous bands in the 70s or 80s did it, you know. There's always a little part the guitar player was singing, and then the great voice came, you know, and then people thought, wow, this is like a challenge or something like lifting up, you know. And I think the dynamic is also important. If you have somebody having such a powerful voice and on 10, 12 songs, you know, then sometimes you get a little bit tired of this, you know. And it's refreshing when you have somebody not as great singing but also good, like me, maybe, then, you know, I think it could be really cool. I'm really looking forward to finish this song. And it will definitely be on the album. It's one of the main songs. It has a really nice kind of atmosphere. It's really like a cool song, you know.
Well, I have to tell you what, Roland, one of the things that I thought was really cool, and I remember talking to you years back, I remember standing at your house years back, and you talked about Roy Z and how much of an impact he had on you, and I remember interviewing Roy a while back, probably about a year ago now, maybe a little over a year ago, and we talked about you specifically, and, you know, when he worked with Helloween on the Dark Ride album, and the thing I have to bring up is that, you know, to me, once you started working with him, I think you as a songwriter and as a player completely took a different turn for the better. I mean, your playing, in my opinion, became much better than it was, and, you know, I was never a big fan of the Yngwie vibe stuff, but I have to tell you that your playing improved and your songwriting skills improved quite a bit after working with Roy. And talk about working with Roy, you know, how much of an impact did he really have on you? And for those people that don't know, you know, maybe tell everybody, you know, what kind of an impact he had on you as a songwriter and just how important that he was to you.
Yes, I think there was the kind of how you say, the situation in Helloween was quite difficult, you know. I think there was some fights going on here and there of musical directions so I was one of the reasons why we changed producers, because I wanted that Helloween gets a more modern sound, because I felt a little bit jealous that all these other bands from Scandinavia sounded much better than our band, you know. And then Roy came, and Charlie Bauerfeind, and then he saw that we had a really bad situation. So the band members were talking to me about him, through him, about me, that they don't like my style, you know, my guitar playing. I was too much into be a fan of someone, you know. I mean, most of the guys know that I was a big Yngwie fan, but I'm much more now a fan from, like, also Strat players, like Richie Blackmore and Uli John Ross, you know. And Michael Schenker is still one of my biggest heroes, you know. These are all very melodic, but also very fast players, you know. But not shredders and from hell, you know. And so he saw the situation in Helloween. We had a lot of meetings and talking, and I was nearly thrown out before we even did the Dark Ride. And I said, okay, I change it, you know. If you want, I go back to my old style when I was 20. Because Wyke took me in the band when I was 29, and he saw me in Rampage playing. And he said, he loved my playing so much, that's why he took me in the band, and now I play the Yngwie stuff, you know. Okay, I was analyzing myself, so that's a bit stupid, because how was I playing like 15 years ago, you know? It's kind of weird. And I thought, yeah, I played more melodic, more like my old idols, like Michael Schenker and this kind of guys, you know. But then when the production started, I had many talkings with Roy Z, and he totally opened up my kind of visions for being a musician, to, you know. It was the first time that somebody really helped me to find a direction. And just with talking, about three and a half, four months we worked together, and I went back home. I said, I don't want to be like this before I was, you know, not anymore. I want to be different. And then I was so happy with the result of the Dark Ride, this kind of guitar sound, my melodic playing on the album. I went back to the Gibson guitars and, you know, and Flying V for solo stuff, and I still love Strat, and I'm still using it a lot on solo parts and overdubs, but my songwriting was getting better as well. I was totally different working from that on, you know, and I think that's very important that to say that Roy really changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say it. My music life is totally different. And I still love to work with him, but it never happened. I'm always telling him, please, if you need somebody mixing your bands or albums, I'd like to help you. You know, I'm really good in mixing now bands. You know, I learned a lot from Andy Sneap, the other guy I have to mention.
Yeah.
Andy Sneap is the second guy. But Roy was the kind of guy who changed me as a guitar player a lot. He showed me how to tune, really, to get a big, fat sound. And you know, I show this now to other young musicians, you know. So it's like the first time in my life, you know, I was learning really a big step. And even though I was already 50, you know, 10 years in the band. And it's a bit weird, you know. But I think you still can learn even when you're older. It doesn't matter. You know, you have to be open-minded and search for good people and trusting them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. And again, Roy just had such a good impact on you that I think that if that would never have happened, I don't think Masterplan probably would be what it is today. So, but I don't want to forget another guy that you've obviously learned quite a bit from, and that's Andy Sneap, who, in my opinion, is probably one of the best producers, sound engineers, putting out anything, not just metal albums, but I mean, this guy, he can make anything sound good. And I think the guy is such a talented producer and such a talented sound guy that, you know, he makes some of my favorite bands like Testament and Accept, and some of these bands just sound unbelievable. And you've obviously learned a lot from him. I mean, you know, a lot of the albums that you're going to be putting out, you know, you learned a lot of tricks from Andy. He's taught you a lot. And, you know, talk about his impact on you and, you know, talk about what Andy Sneap brought to the table that really helped you out as far as, you know, being a producer for a band, Roland.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. I mean, you know, when I was searching for producer for the first Masterplan album, you know, I wanted definitely something fresh and different sound, you know. I just searched, and I don't even remember how I found him, but I think I met him on the last tour in England at the concert with Halloween. So he was backstage because, I don't know why, but creator Millie from Creator was there as well, and in the studio with Andy Sneap, and they were visiting someone from the crew. I don't even remember who it was now. So I just went to Andy. I said, "Hey man, you are the producer, right? You know, I heard a couple of productions, and one was Killed to This from England, and I don't know how famous they are, but I love the sound on the album." And I said, "Yeah." And I said, "How expensive you are?" I asked him, you know. So he was laughing. He said, "Well, this stupid German guy, you know, just being so direct, you know, and that's how I am, you know." But then I contacted him when, you know, like a year later or something, or 6 months later, and I said, "Are you able to make the first album for Masterplan?" And he did. And since then, you know, I saw how he makes the guitar sound, and I was even more happy than on The Dark Ride, you know. Since then, I was getting into guitar sounds much more and production side, but it still took many, many years that I really were interesting how to mix an album, you know. I never really took care about it. But then after a while, I thought, okay, now the budget gets tighter, and I was starting recording bands here in my studio in Slovakia, and I was, of course, trying to mix them, and then I first failed totally, and then I had some productions which opened all the doors for me here, but it was a coincidence, you know. So I had never a stable kind of great sound, but sometimes I had it, but sometimes not.
Mm-hmm.
But now I had 3-4 meetings with Andy Sneap. I always went to his studio in England, and I go always like every 1.5 years, and I'm supposed to go now in December again, when Masterplan is nearly finished, just to check my mix, and you know, because he's a really good friend, and he showed me many tricks, and I love him, and I check all the productions he's doing, all the Testament, Accept, and all the, you know, Cradle of Filth. You know, when somebody was suggesting our new drummer Martin, I didn't even know he plays in Cradle of Filth, so I had the albums already here. So then some guys from Czech Republic told me, "Oh, we have a really good drummer in Czech Republic." I said, yeah, who cares, you know. And then I checked him out, and I said, "Wow, he's amazing." So that's how, you know, the whole connection. So I'm I love all the Andy Sneap's productions, and you're right. It's not just about metal or thrash metal. So he makes also just a beautiful drum sound, which could fit to other music or guitar sounds, you know, and mixes. So, and he's really beautiful to work with as well. He's a really cool friend.
I really liked the last Master Plan album, Roland, and just out of curiosity, I thought the last album was a little bit heavier than the last couple of releases. And, you know, what's the musical direction so far in this upcoming Master Plan record?
I think the last album, really, I love as well. Don't get me wrong, but, you know, I said in an interview before, so we made a little compromise because I wanted that John came back to the band. And he's not into this kind of double bass playing and fast songs. And he hates also the similarity when we had it sometimes with Halloween. And this kind of, I mean, these are my roots, you know. I learned so much from Halloween the years, the arrangement of the guitars and everything, and songwriting. And so I think we went a little bit back now on the new album, you know, because there's nobody telling me again, no, I don't want. So because everybody's really happy about the new songs, we have written 14 songs and an intro extra. And I can say that we have much more, you know, a closer way to the first album again. So we're not getting into mega brutal, you know, kind of, melodic metal parts again. But I think we have a lot of more elements from the first album again, but without copying it. We're definitely sounding more fresh now, up to date. I mean, it's 10 years later, so like I said, the production will be different. I'm mixing this album this time. And so I think the drum sound will be really much more right in the face, more present, more louder. I try everything to make it more brutal. You know, like always, I love great productions, like I said, from Andy Sneap, but I'm also a big Rammstein fan, so I have to mention it. You know, I love the Rammstein sound as well. So that means the whole album has a lot of variety of faster songs. We have, of course, one or two ballads, which maybe not both are on the album, but a lot of orchestration we have the first time. So it's a lot of orchestra kind of, not real ones, but from Axel arranged. And I really love the new direction, to be honest. So I think it's something I have the feeling I can be really proud to present now. And I hope not to disappoint any fan, because it's something I totally believe now in it, you know. So for me, that's the next step. Master Plan should do, and not getting back and back to the stuff you did in the first or second album, like most of the people mentioned, this is the favorites. I'm really proud of it, and I still love it, but now we have a totally new lineup, and the main songwriters are Axel and me now, and we have a new one. Martin has written one song, which is incredible, important for the album, and it's really something fresh. It's like Master Plan, a little bit Cradle of Filth direction, so it's really cool. But not the singing, you know. But the power of and his songwriting really reminds me to Uli. And I'm looking forward for the next albums, because now we have the feeling we know exactly what we want to do in the future. And we're really hot to make a, not waiting another 3 years and for the next album, you know.
Now, Roland, as a producer, obviously you work with quite a few bands. But, you know, if you had to pick someone you really like to work with, and alive or dead, you know, it doesn't have to be a famous band. It could be a small band. It could be a big band, you know, a more popular band. You know, who would you like to work with and why? Like, you know, what musicians out there would you love to work with, you know, and produce an album for?
Yeah, I don't think these bands would need to work with me, because they're all happy with the productions and there. But I would love to bands like Camelot or something like that, you know, because I saw them live 1.5 years ago, and because one of our old roadies is working with them, and I saw them live and I said, wow, man, they're beautiful. They really reminded me a little bit to Master Plan, you know, not the melodies and the singing, but the kind of guitar sound and the whole production sound. Really cool. But when I hear the production, I always, you know, I have a different taste. I like it very modern and more, you know, powerful. And I thought what I saw live was not the same what I heard on the albums, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's just one example. But of course, I love also more trashier bands. I made many, many trash metal bands here in Slovakia and Czech Republic, because most of these bands doing this kind of music, and not so many melodic stuff coming. But I work also with a band from Czech Republic called Sebastian. And I'm working in February on the second album, and they have many, many famous guest singers, like Dougie White, and Mike DeMeo was on the last one, and Fabio Leone. I had a little part as a singer, and also solo part, and Tore, ex-guitar player of Jorn, was playing also a nice solo on it, and so they had more. I forgot all those names, but they will have on the next album as well a lot of guest singers, and I'm really like this band, because they're really kind of fresh and really hungry, I have to say. They're really good songwriters as well. So it's really cool that these people believe me, you know, and trust in me as a producer. They totally asked me, what about the songwriting? We worked together as a pre-production already. And then when I hear the stuff and we're recording it, I just say, I don't like it, I like it, or whatever. And they say, okay, let's do it like you want, you know, because they trust me. And I think that's the best way when you have a producer.
Yeah.
Or if you don't trust someone, then you don't need a producer. You have to produce your own stuff. But this kind of band, I think, gets really further soon, because the next production will be much better than the first album I did 2-3 years ago. And the songwriting is killer, and I'm really looking forward that the production comes out next year, and people should check it out, you know. But more famous bands, of course, I would love to, you know, working for Metallica, that they finally get a good sound.
Now, what about like other musicians? Like, you know, who would you love to play on a record with, or who would you love to play on stage with, or play in a band with? And you know, if you could pick some musicians out there, you know, aside from the guys in Masterplan that you would love to work with, you know, I mean, who would they be, and you know, why would you decide that you would want to work with these people?
Basically, it's interesting. You know, I think. I'm not thinking so much about guitar players, to be honest. I mean, I love Zakk Wylde, you know, as a kind of person, in a way, how he's acting on stage, you know, a little bit too crazy for me about this kind of, you know, Black Label Society talking and drinking problems. But whatever, he's a cool guy, and I loved him always in Aussie, and I think he's the kind of guy I would be proud to stay on stage with, you know. I think it's a bit nonsense, but that's a cool guy. But like Cozy Powell on drums would be great. I mean, it's still not alive anymore, but to be honest, David Coverdale as a singer would be great, you know. And Tony Martin was one of my favorite singers in the past, you know, the Black Sabbath stuff. I really loved he was singing on, and Okay Deal. You know, no reason to talk about him anymore, but one of this, you know, dreams which never comes true, you know. I have many musicians I like to work with, but it's not you know, so important for me anymore. I mean, I want to do something with Roy again, you know. Roy, as a guitar player, make a production or a band or something together, a project, would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's, because I owe him so much, that, you know, and I'm still asking him when we can work together again, you know. If you have time to help me, maybe for Masterplan. But he never has time anymore. He's so busy, but he always says, yeah, I'd love to work with you, but let's see, you know. But Roy would be cool.
Well, hey, Roland, you know, you seem to be, obviously, producing a lot of really good metal bands. And you know what, man? If you know of any bands out there that are really good and looking for a little bit of promotion, you know, send them my way. I'd definitely like to check them out.
Yeah, there's also another band from Czech Republic called Eagleheart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the name already says everything. They're big fans of the old Stradivarius kind of direction.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to do also their second album. And I was quite happy about the first result. And, yeah, there's a Silent Stream of Godless Elegy I made from Czech Republic. This is a kind of interesting direction. I think they make a little mistake. They went back to their own language. You know, normally they were singing in English. But then now they're singing in Czech on the last album, so not so for the international market. But the music style is very interesting. You know, it's really... It's not brutal or metal or something. It's more rock metal, and very open with natural instruments like xylophone and you know, like violin and here and there. I don't even know what to direct, folk metal or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like the people, and it was like a big family. Like 15 people are in the band. And when they came to the studio, they brought the kids with them. And the first thing they brought was a big piece of Pilsner beer. So that means before they started bringing the instruments, and the beer was already installed here, you know, like in a pub, like, you know, getting like fresh ones in the glass, and crazy people, they love beer here always. So, but that's the kind of bands I like to mention, and sorry, my voice. And I was working for Black Majesty, which is, of course, a great band. I hope I can help them with the last two albums I mixed. And I would love to make the production as well, but they always recording in Australia and then coming here for mixing, and maybe just the drum sound was recorded as well here. So that's the main band. And then I have, of course, Spanish band, Saratoga, which is quite famous in Spain. I mixed already the last two albums, which I think are a really great band. And now the Spanish band is coming already tomorrow. You know, I recorded in September the drums, but then the guitar player comes tomorrow from Spain, and the band called Timara, and the singer, German guy. So Timara is also a cool band. So I work with many bands. I even mention all of them.
Well, Roland, it seems that you've recruited a really good lineup for this album and for Master Plan itself, and I'm really thinking that you've recruited a bunch of guys that are on the same page with each other, and, you know, that doesn't really happen very often. I mean, these guys seem like they have the same direction in mind, and, you know, it seems like you got a pretty solid lineup, and I feel pretty confident that this lineup is going to be pretty good for this band.
Wanted to be more and more producer and say, I'm not playing live anymore because this was what we had in the past. You know, it wasn't interesting to play, so I was a little bit, getting told in this kind of one-way street position, you know, and not say anything good, no news about the band lineup. Now we're totally, you know, the guys in the band pushing me, let's play live, let's go out, you know, and I feel happy. I feel like, yeah, this new band is totally motivated, and the batteries are full, you know, and the record label is motivated. They see it, you know. We have a new touring agency again. It's the old one we had in the past, but it's called All Access, and they're booking already a lot of shows, and we have also planning Asian dates. Like, you know, I never played in China. So we have dates already planned for China and Taiwan and Japan and Korea again. And this is really cool to see that people still wanting us, you know, even with a new lineup, and they're really happy to see us soon, you know.
Well, Roland, for my last question here, what do you have to say to the fans that are going to be checking out this Master Plan interview, and you know, the fans in the U.S., fans all around the world are going to be checking out this interview at some point. And you know, what last words do you have to say to all of your fans out there?
Yeah, I think it's nice to make an interview with you first. Only we know us a long time. I think 15 years you mentioned, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. So it's great to hear your voice again. It's totally familiar still for me, and I'm looking forward that the fans checking out our album maybe in March, April next year, and that we're touring again, and the video will come out. We're shooting a video beginning of January already, and so everything is ready to go out again and rocking, and I think people will be surprised how fresh we're sounding now, and it's time to move on, and I'm looking forward to see you all live again, and especially I love to have a chance to come to America. You know, we never played America and Canada so far, and I'm looking for all those places, you know, to especially to come.